and to be teaching this morning. I'm also a little terrified as well. So bear with me. This is a weighty responsibility and weighty task, and I don't take it lightly. However, there is joy that is found in it. Now, this morning, I had every intention of picking a scripture passage and preaching on what I wanted to preach and use that to accommodate what I wanted to do. However, after picking the scripture passage, the Holy Spirit worked. And he said, no, this is what the passage says about me. Preach this. And I said, okay. That's what we will do. And I just want to tell you this, that the title of today's sermon is God is a Personal God. But before we go into that, we kind of have to lay the framework of why we state that in and why the Bible states that. So just for a minute, go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That's John 1:1. In the beginning, there was God. Now, God is three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And these three persons are together. They are just worshiping and glorifying in themselves as God. So why did he create? Does he need us? Does he need billions of people to worship him, to feel gratified and satisfaction? No. Our God is a personal God. This spaceless, timeless, immaterial God is one that loves you and wants a relationship with you, and he is personal. It took a personal God to create, to choose to create. Let's pray this morning. God, be glorified in the teaching of your word this morning. Let me not get in the way of it, but open our hearts, open our ears, and Lord, we just pray that you would be praised and worshiped this morning. Unveil new things to us that we might not have seen before. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So let's go ahead, let's turn to Psalm 139. Now, if you have your written word of God, if you kind of just eyeball it and go right to the middle, you might get there. I am one page off, literally. If you hit Proverbs or Isaiah, you've gone too far. You can also pull out your smartphone or your iPad, whatever device, and you can read off of that. We'll also have the slides up here as well for Psalm 139. So there's no excuse. You have to follow along. So eyes are up or eyes are looking down at your Bible. Let's read. Before we read, you'll see here in my text, there's in italics, for the choir director, right before verse 1. Some of you might have, for the chief musician. Now, some scholars will say that, oh, this was David writing this psalm, this worship passage, for a prominent singer like Heman or Asaph in David's time, for them to sing a solo that's very prominent, and, you know, they're going to do a great job. And then there are other scholars that say, no, that can't be. This is too intimate and too personal a psalm that David is writing, that he says, this is David's psalm to God. It is his solo to the Lord. And it's right here for us as well, to take joy in and study. And I tend to agree with that one. Other scholars also say that David wrote this psalm after he became king in Israel. And you can see that later on. He talks about, God, kill my enemies, those who invoke you deceitfully. He talks about that. That's kind of where they come from this. But let's go ahead. Let's dive into the text this morning. Let's start at verse 1. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty, and I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold on to me. And if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me, how vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. God, if only you would kill the wicked, you bloodthirsty men, stay away from me, who invoke you deceitfully. Your enemies swear by you falsely. Lord, don't I hate those who hate you and detest those who rebel against you? I hate them with extreme hatred, and I consider them my enemies. So search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. God is a personal God because he is omniscient. So recently there was a party at a Christian school, and all the parents and teachers had gathered to celebrate this achievement that the kids had done. And in the cafeteria, they're all gathered, and they see this huge spread of food, and they're celebrating, yeah! And Billy is at the front of the line. And Billy had a label. He was very creative. He's like me. My teacher was like, Mr. and Mrs. Ryan, your son is very creative. Every day in the classroom is an adventure with him. Billy was mischievous. So was I. And Billy sees ahead of him, he looks at the first platter, and it's this big platter of apples. And there's a note, and it says, take only one, God is watching. Okay, so Billy takes an apple and moves on. Now he gets to my favorite part of the line, the end of the line, the desserts, thank you. And he sees a big platter of chocolate chip cookies, but there's no sign. So Billy writes his own sign, just to make sure everybody's aware that he's creative. He writes, take all you want, God's watching the apples. And it's funny. It's so funny because we want God to see our good. We want him to see our victories and our when we do well. God, look at me. I am praying with you right now. Look at me. I'm reading my Bible. I'm studying your word. Look at me. I'm making relationship and spreading your gospel. But when we do bad, when we're not faithful, we tend to what? We throw up this wall between us and God. And we deceive ourselves. We think we can hide. Or we think that he doesn't see it. But our God is a personal God, and he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. This is a quote from Johann David Frisch. He is a German theologian from the 16 and 1700s. Do not fancy that your demeanor, posture, dress, or deportment are not under God's providence. You deceive yourself. Do not think that your thoughts pass free from inspection. The Lord understands them afar off. Think not that your words are dissipated in the air before God can hear. Oh no, He knows them even when still upon your tongue. Do not think that your ways are so private and concealed that there is no one to know them or censor them. You are mistaken. God knows all of your ways. Now, when I first read this quote, I felt convicted. I felt shame. I felt guilt. But the more I read it and repeated it, I felt comforted that there is a God who knows me intimately and wants relationship, and He knows all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, David says, verse 4, you know all about it, Lord. Can an all-powerful God with His breath create stars that burn at millions of degrees and shine in the night? Can He not know us? No, He knows us. We are His creation. Let's look at the verbs in the text of verses 1 through 6. Look at the words here that David uses. And notice that it is the Lord, action, David, or me, or us. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I move around. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. And this wondrous knowledge that you have, Lord, it is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to attain it. This all-powerful God, spaceless, timeless, immaterial, is not one that just sits on His throne and casts judgment. He is one that knows you and loves us. And He wants to be with you. He is a personal God. Not only because of His omniscience, but because He is omnipresent. Now, I know what you're saying. There's a lot of omni words going around. We just talked about omniscience, omnipresent. I know we all just learned Omicron. Thank you for laughing at my corny joke. But omnipresence, we're talking about God. And this means two things. He is with us always. Space and time. With us always. He is omnipresent. Now, there is some verbiage here in verse 2 that might contradict that. You understand my thoughts from far away. How can God be far away and still be with me always? Is David saying, God, you're in heaven far away and you hear my and you know my thoughts, but you're not with me? And I would say to you, that's not what David is saying right there in this instance. I would say that's David saying, God may feel far away because you've put yourself there to be far away from Him. But God is still right with you always. Again, let's look at the verbiage in the text. Verses 7 through 12. And notice the emphasis is changed. This is David, action to the Lord. And this is such a human reaction too, to an all-powerful God. God, where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down over there, you're there. Your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. And then he gives this analogy of darkness and light. God, I'm going to hide in the darkness. Don't play hide and seek with the Lord. He'll find you. Even there, darkness and light are alike to you, God. Now, when I first learned the term omnipresent, I kind of felt bottled up. I felt claustrophobic, like God is surrounding me and I have nowhere to run. And that's not what omnipresence is to us as believers. This is the creator of the universe holding out his hand, saying, trust me, I'm here. I know what's going on. I'm with you always. Hold my hand. Oh, guide you. And I also see this hand right here, and I see it when I hold my children's hand. And we're in the Walmart parking lot. You ever see a kid just run out the store and almost get hit? Your heart skips a beat. Hold my hand. Look up. Do you see any cars? Stop and wait a minute. Let's watch that car. What does it do? Oh, it's pulling into a spot. Where's our van? Let's go to it. I'll guide you safely. Do you not see the analogy here? God is extending his hand out to us. He is with us always, guiding us safely if we put our hope and faith and trust in him. Because God is a, you can say it with a little more conviction. God is a personal God. And when I think about this, God as a parent, as holding my hand in the parking lot of life, I can't help but also note that God is a personal God because of his intentional creation in the womb. God treasures life. And when I picked this Sunday, I so wanted to preach on just this next two verses in Psalm 139. And that's not right. But he is an intentional God. Let's read Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. We all came from our mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. I want to focus on one word here. It's the English word knit. You knit me together in my mother's womb. When you hear the word knit, what do you think of? I know what I think of. Don't judge me. I think of this old lady in a rocking chair, knitting. Now, I don't see this old, I see her as a gentle spirit, lovingly creating a scarf. I do not see her rocking in her rocking chair rigorously. I hate this scarf, it's so ugly, I can't wait to trample on it. I see her rocking back and forth. This scarf is so beautiful. I can't wait to see what it's going to look like, what it's going to go with in my wardrobe. I can't wait to show it off. This scarf is beautiful. In the same way, our God, who is a personal God, knit us together in our mother's womb. He chose to do that. And he put us in this very intimate spot. A woman's, my three-year-old say, her tummy. And he is with us always, and he's knitting us together. These two cells combined and burst into life at conception. And God is with us right there, forming us, intentionally molding us. From those two cells burst an arm. And other organs and systems of our body that function miraculously every day without us even thinking about it. Because God knit us together. He values life. He treasures it. And he says, you are wondrously made. Now, some of you might have fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's so easy to put a joke here with that. Oh, I'm fearfully made because I'm ugly and I lost my hair and, you know, all this. And I just tell you, you don't think that way. I love my Christian Standard Bible when it says you are remarkably and wondrously made. Think highly of yourself. This God of the universe who creates is a personal God, and he said, you are special. You are my creation. You are remarkable. Act like it. Our God is a personal God who values us to the point of being with us in our mother's womb. It is treasured. And then you hear David's response. I will praise you. The psalmist, realizing that the God of the universe knows him, is with him always, his response is, I will praise you. How awesome is that? What is our response to this God who is creator of the universe? Hear this from Romans 8. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us, for you. Because why? He is a personal God. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, COVID? That last one wasn't in there. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is a personal God. He loves us. His plan of redemption covers the blackness in our hearts, the sin. Not just once, but always. In church, we have a chance to respond like David. I'm just going to invite you now to just calmly bow your heads. This is not an altar call. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, what is your response? Well, we are commanded as believers to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Praise him now. Just personally between you and God. Give thanks. Seeker, non-believer, I'm talking to you now. What is your response? It's so natural to think, is this true? And I invite you to confide this question into someone. I would love to have lunch with you and to hear your story. I'm sure that is definitely true of our elders as well. We are not a confrontation church. But is this true? You bet. Our God is a personal God. O God, our Father in heaven, Christ Jesus, Holy Spirit, hear our hearts this morning as we enter your courts with thanksgiving, with praise, with gratefulness in our hearts, with joy and peace, knowing that you are God and that you're a personal God. We respond with love for you and praise for you. And God, we just want to bless your name forevermore. Amen. This wasn't planned, but I'd love to just respond in just a song. So let's stand up. And you might know this song as like the doxology.